just as the last bits of the, ooh, that's a nice deep booming voice that is up here. Just as the last bits of the offering are being collected up, let me just introduce you to Andy. For those of you who don't know Andy Clark has been a member here for many years, and it's been a real joy as Andy and I have met now for, years, I think, about once a month or so. And Andy's one of our regular preachers at our Tuesday afternoon service. He's a driving instructor, I would say by day, but I think sometimes that's the evenings as well. But Andy's a man who loves Jesus and loves to tell people about Jesus. And the last time I heard him speak at Tuesday afternoon service, I thought the rest of the church needs to hear this. And so I've asked Andy to share the message that he gave at the Tuesday afternoon service a short while back. And I would ask you to please listen and ask God to open up your heart, that we'd not only hear but apply the things that God wants to challenge us through what Andy's got to say. So without further ado, I want to pray for Andy and pray that God just speak to us in this time before we come to communion this morning. Father, thank you for Andy. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for his faith. Thank you for the many stories of how you're at work around him. And Lord, I pray now that you would just fill him afresh with your spirit, give him that joy and peace as he ministers to us. Thank you for this word you've put in his heart. And I pray now you would open up not just our ears, but our hearts and minds, that we might hear your word and apply it to our lives. So come, Lord, speak, we pray, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Andy.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to be reading today from, put this mic down, the Old Testament, page 157 in your church Bibles. And it's actually Numbers 20, that's chapter 20, verse 1 to verse 12. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before your eyes, before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I gave them." Let's just bow down and just pray to this. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you will just speak to us today. Lord, for your Holy Spirit, you would just feed us in your word, Lord. You would just draw us closer to you, because our lives are all about your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, just to break this passage down, that When the people didn't have water in the desert, God told Moses to speak to a rock until water came from it. But Moses, through his anger and lack of faith, struck the rock with his staff. Now, this disobedient act resulted in Moses not being permitted to lead the people into Canaan. Now, what I really want us to get out of this kind of a talk today is the importance of trust and pray. You know, trust is a theme of the book of Numbers. And this is something that Moses just didn't do on this occasion. Just over a year ago, I took my boy Samuel, who was then 7 years old, to see Father Christmas at Brooklands Park. In fact, we tried to go last weekend, but it was too busy. And anyway, that we kind of went to see Father Christmas. And he said, I've got a gift for you. And my boy Samuel took the gift, and I said to Father Christmas, we've got a gift for you, Father Christmas. And we gave him a Gideon Bible, because I belong to the Gideons. You know, it's about time someone gave a Bible to Father Christmas. You know, but prior to this, how do you know it's God's will telling you to actually do this? Because if you think about this, this really could have backfired. You know, he might have just told me to leave the place. But you know, I tell you how you know, the voice wouldn't leave me. All that morning, it just kept playing in my heart. And as it says in Isaiah chapter 30, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know, that's the way you know. The voice of God just won't leave you alone. You know, one of the hardest lessons for us to learn is to actually trust God rather than our own reason. You know, that we struggle with this the same as the Israelites did, just to believe that God is in control. But you know, God knows what he's doing. He doesn't make mistakes. But you know, often that we feel that we're closer to the situation or the storm that we're in, that's than what God is. But you know, Proverbs puts it very accurately. In Proverbs 14 verse 22, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You know, back to verse 2 in Numbers, it says, now there was no water for the community. You know, throughout most of the year, the Sinai and the Negev are very hot and dry. You know, how do you deal with this situation when it seems that everything is against you? And you might be going through something in church today where you think, Andy, you don't know what I'm experiencing. Everything is all against me. Well, let me make a suggestion, just to look at God's word again. Look at Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 10. It says, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. You know, here Daniel demonstrates the courage to obey God, no matter what the consequences. Daniel just didn't know if God would save him from the lion's den. But it didn't matter, because he chose to honour God in his life. I don't know about you, but I really like that. When you don't know the outcome, you just choose to follow God in your life. And you know, we, like Daniel, are actually free to choose to follow the Lord. I've been going to a retirement home now for more than 5 years, once a month. And we've seen various people come to the Lord, some that are now in glory. And you know, last Thursday, we had our Christmas special. We had a great a team of people. We had the Salvation Army doing a puppet show. And we had about 50 people there. And you know, I was so touched that I'd left out all this literature and Bibles before the services started, because we get some people that just actually come along for this Christmas service. You know, before it started, these people that just come on for the Christmas service were picking up the literature and couldn't let go of it. They were just looking at it. So I thought, this is fantastic. Praise God. And, you know, just want to say that we've seen God work in amazing ways there. The two eldest residents there are both Christians. One is 95, one is 96 years old. And the one who's 96, lovely Christian, she's got an illness now that means that her vocal cords are never going to regain their strength again. So when she talks, she has to whisper. And you know me, that I'm not the best hearer, really. And I have to keep saying, can you whisper a bit louder? But you know that she loves the Lord. She really does. And you know, I really would ask for your prayers for this retirement home, because as every year goes by, some people, even there now, will not be here next year. So really would ask for your prayers. You know, thank you very much. And you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says, just going to be part of it, those who honour me, I will honour. And you know, just want to say to you, Holland Road, as a church, whatever ministry that you're in, or maybe you're not in a ministry, or if you share your faith, or even if you pray for someone, you are honouring God by stepping out in faith, just taking this time out in your life to actually do his will. In number 6, Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. They were awaiting the presence of the Lord to resolve the crisis. You know, do you wait for God's presence when you have troubles? I mean, hands up, that sometimes I'll go storming in without waiting for the presence of God. About 6 weeks ago, before setting off to work, as I do every day, I prayed for protection upon myself and the people in the car I was going to be with that day. And about 2:15 on this particular day, we're driving along the A23 by the dog's home in Patcham. And there was a vehicle in front of us towing a caravan. And my pupil, who's test standard, quite a confident guy, wanted to overtake it. And normally, because being test standard, I would always encourage that. You don't want to encourage hesitation. But you know, I just felt God's voice say to me, just wait a moment. I just felt that. Anyway, I said to the guy, I called him Tony, that's not his name, but I said, look, Tony, I said, just wait a moment, will you? And you know, in Haggai, in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. You know, that I personally find that when God is talking, there is peace in his word. You know, suddenly the vehicle towing the caravan turned over, spinning the car around. The caravan was just totally wrecked. And to make matters worse, gas canisters come falling off the back of it. You know, had we overtaken it earlier, we would have guaranteed hit it. And you know, bizarrely, the person I was with is actually quite a new Christian from a different church. And I just quoted him Psalm 34, verse 7, as we're just passing it, which says, let the angel of the Lord encamp round those who fear him. Now, isn't this amazing? Like, when you come and taste and see that God is good. You know, Numbers verse 8, where God says, take the staff. You see, God here had heard Israel's complaints by giving an order. You know, it's good to remember that the staff was kept before the Ark of the Covenant to prevent the Israelites from complaining. You know, that the staff represents God's authority in the hands of Moses and Aaron. You know, that the instructions God gives his representatives, even you in this church, are very precise and must be followed exactly. But you know, why is this? You know, that why must these instructions be followed exactly? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. You know, this is what Moses done when he struck the rock. He gave the devil a foothold. You know, today we've been talking about trusting in God and praying. And you know, August this year, when I was in Turkey on a family holiday, I just felt God say to me, I need to be a bit more precise with my praying. I mean, okay, please don't get me wrong, I pray every day. Often I pray between lessons, travelling between them. But I just felt God say, look, you spend so much time organising your business. I want to do a similar thing with your prayer life. So what I've done is that I kind of drew up a bit of a prayer list. And I just want to say this for me personally has really helped me. And if it encourages someone here, then praise God. And the prayer list is actually based from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Sometimes of a day, I might just divert and just meditate on that. But you know, every day of my prayer list, I pray for my family and anything in particular, like maybe illness, and I pray for people to speak to about Jesus Christ. Now on a Monday, I pray for Israel and our government. Now, I've got to put my hands up and say, I used to do this, but only rarely. I would just keep forgetting. And I need to have this reminder. Also on a Monday, I pray for my business. I pray for work to come in. Safety for instructors and Bibles to give out to pupils. That is a real important thing for me when they pass their test. Tuesday, I pray for the return of Jesus. And I pray for Holland Road, our pastor and the family. Ministries. And you know, sometimes, I remember recently, I just on a Tuesday, one of our leaders, God just put in my heart to pray for all that day long. I don't know why, I just followed it through. Other ministries, I pray for the retirement home, the Gideons, I mean, speaking engagements, and even door-to-door work. Wednesday, I pray for my home group, and I pray for my wife's home group. And you know, that I'm really touched by the ladies' home groups in the church. It really stirs my heart. I don't hear about all these ladies meeting. It just amazes me. I think it's wonderful. Thursday, I pray for anything or anyone in general God puts on my heart. Friday, I pray that God will give me more of him. Fill me anew. Give me wisdom, knowledge, to be a good husband and a good dad. I mean, hands up, I find some of these things quite difficult. I mean, I love being a dad. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, that all I feel I'm confident with is instigating fun and games and maybe leading them spiritually. But in terms of discipline, that is a hard subject for me. You know, I need God's help on this. Saturday, I pray for addictions. I don't really watch much television, but sometimes if I just fall asleep in front of it, whatever, I kind of the following day, I think, what a waste of a night. Forgive me if there's anyone who likes watching TV, but for me personally, and I just pray that God will help me turn from some of these addictions. Maybe you have a different addiction. And I also pray for revival of our city. Sunday, this is my favourite day for praying, I go back over the week and I thank God for answers to prayer. Praise the Lord. And I just think what God is doing during the time in the past week. And you know, Psalm 90, verse 1, the only Psalm of Moses, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And you know, that I just meditate on this, just to be aware of God's presence. You know, that this Numbers 20 today, before this, we'd had Moses doing many displays of loyalty and courage, like what he'd done with the Red Sea. But you know, that when Moses struck the rock, he did not trust God enough to demonstrate his holiness. You know, God requires obedience. And faith, anything less, is an affront to his holy character. And you know, that the most amazing thing I discovered out of all of this kind of passage, and that's what I just want you to focus on, if you just remember this one thing from today, is Moses didn't realize he was fulfilling the prophecy symbolizing the coming suffering of Christ. Just want to say that again. Moses didn't realize he was fulfilling the prophecy symbolizing the coming suffering of Christ. Christ was a rock who was smitten. Moses had done wrong. And I mean, hands up that we all sin. But God brought good out of it. Now, isn't that amazing? And you know, God can bring good out of the things that we do wrong. You know, this was living water that came out of the rock. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them And that rock was Christ. Now, the question I have for all of you here tonight is Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who takes refuge in him. Are you tasting and seeing that the Lord is good? Just a question I want to ask you today. What we're going to do, before David leads us into communion, just want to just lead us in a prayer. We can just give the glory to God. If you start to bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you that you were the rock that gives us living water. And I pray, Lord, that wherever we are, Lord, in our walk with you, you can use us, Lord, for us to taste and see that you are the only way forward in this life. Lord, we know when we stand before you, it's not about what trophies we've taken from this life, Lord. It's all about you. And Lord, I pray as we approach the end of this year and we're ready for the start of 2012, you'll bless each and every one of us here, Lord. And you will draw us closer to you, Lord, because our life's all about your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you all.